Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Songwriters on Process podcast. My name is Benno Papari, and since 2010, I've run the Songwriters on Process website, where you can find more than 200 conversations with songwriters about the creative process. I'm not here to talk about tour stories, band drama, how a band got its name, or favorite foods. My goal is to treat songwriters as writers, plain and simple. This is an intelligent conversation about the writing process between two writers. And today we have Bethany Cosentino, formerly or ex of Best Coast. The band is on a definite hiatus. This is not the first time I've interviewed Bethany. It's not even the second time. She is, I believe, the first person in Songwriters on Process history that has been on the site three times. The first time was 2010, I think, when her debut, the band Best Coast's debut album, came out, and then again in 2015. So, you know, we're on a 5 to 8 year cycle, I guess. And I love every interview. I love them because each one has been different. And she even alludes to that in the interview, that she said that each phase of her, I guess, career, maybe each album has a different process. She wrote one album in front of the TV on mute. This one she wrote a lot of it in her car. She said she loves to write. So many ideas came to her in her car. I'm going to quote her here. She says, "I will be late for things because I'm sitting in my car for too long. I will drive to a place, be on time, and I'll be late walking in because I'm in my car writing." And, you know, here's the other thing. I've heard this so many times as songwriters. I just interviewed John McCauley and Ian O'Neill of Brett of Deer Tick. And they told me, as Bethany did, they love to write on the floor. What is it with the floor? Britt Daniel of Spoon told me the same thing. But a lot of songwriters told me they love to write on the floor. That's a much deeper discussion. But again, you know, I'm a big Bethany Cosentino fan. The debut solo album is great. And as again, I think she brings to the interview something totally different each time. I remember actually, now that I'm thinking about it, the last time we talked, she said she wrote, she loved to write in front of a giant window in the house, but not this time. This time it's in her car. Talked a lot about reading. She's a voracious reader, voracious reader. She journals every day and loves to discover what it brings to the surface. So again, big fan. This is a great interview. And here, have a listen. Bethany Cosentino. So let's get started. So thanks for taking the time to talk to me. I guess, you know, based around the album itself, but just as far as the writing process in general, how much writing are you doing outside of songwriting? Whether it's journaling, I guess I listened to the lyrics are so much in the forefront on this album, listening to the lyrics, that I was wondering, like, how much of these came from kind of outside songs? Maybe you were journal writing or just kind of jotting things down, stuff like that. So are you doing a lot of that in general, or is it just strictly songwriting?
No, I do a lot of outside writing. I do journal a lot. I admittedly don't journal as much as my therapist tells me to. Therapist is always like, you need to be journaling every day. But I find that when it's the like classic LOL moment of when I do journal, I'm like, oh, this is so helpful. And this is so nice to get things out of me. I would say that for this, and then I do also do a lot of like just sort of free form writing. I from time to time, like, will post something that I've written, whether it's an essay, like the lead up for this record, I wrote a long thing about change that I posted. And, So yes, I do some writing outside of songwriting, but I would say that lyrically for this record, a lot of it did come from stuff that I just sort of like ideas that popped into my mind that I would put in my notes app. And I wrote actually a lot of the ideas for a lot of these songs came from me sitting in my car. So there are a lot of things, like whether it was a voice note on my phone singing an a cappella melody or talking about an idea for something or a feeling that I was currently having, whether it was that or opening up the notes app and sort of typing in like some ideas or lines that may have come to me. This record lyrically, I approached it wildly different than I ever did anything that I wrote as Best Coast.
So back to the journaling first of my follow-up. When you journal, are there parameters around it? Is it pages, time? Is there any regularity to that process?
I try to do 3 pages when I journal. I've done the artist's way many times. And so I've done the morning pages. And that I find that is something that like I really would love to be consistent with, because I find that when I'm doing the morning pages, it's like having a like garbage bin for your brain. It's just like a place where you can put all the shit that swirls through your head, where you can put it and sort of make sense of it without really having to make sense of it. You know what I'm saying? So when I do journal, I try to keep it to like at least 3 pages. If I don't make it all the way, like I try not to beat myself up, but I do this thing. I actually bought this. I don't have it on the desk with me, but I bought this little journal that's called like 2-Minute Mornings, and it's a game changer. It's literally just a little book that has like, you write down what you want to let go of for the day. You write down 5 things you're grateful for. And then you write down like things you want to focus on for the day. And even just doing that, like it really helps me start my day. And again, I try to do it every day, but I don't always do it every day. But especially right now with as much stuff as I have going on, I have found that it's a super helpful thing for me to do.
With the morning pages, is that separate from the songwriting? In other words, is that a way to say, no song ideas come from that? Because some songwriters tell me they get a lot of ideas from their journaling. Others say, no, I do that so I can separate that from the songwriting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't really think that, I mean, I would say that I don't go through the journal, like it's particularly if I'm doing like more morning pages stuff, because like the rules of the morning page is like, you're not supposed to read it. You're just supposed to like put it there. And then I think maybe later on in the process of the artist's way, you do go back to read it. But anyway, I would say that I don't go through and sort of like comb through and be like, okay, what in here could I use? It's more what it brings to the surface of my brain. And so I would say that yes, doing the morning pages, doing the journaling, even doing this little 2-Minute Morning thing that I just mentioned, I'm not actively going through and pulling lines, but it is bringing stuff into my like consciousness that is then inspiring me to go and write.
And the notes app then when you're in the car, that's separate from that. That's just kind of like, oh, I've got this idea, and then I'll put
the notes app is like, I use my notes. It's funny. There's like a trend happening on TikTok right now where it's like you post screenshots of your notes app and everyone's like, LOL, these wild things I say. And mine are like, so like I went through, cause I was like, maybe I can try this. And I went through and mine are like pages long of just random free writing. And then there's like little lines and I like point to it and say like, is this an idea? ? So I would say that I use my notes app as sort of like my on the go ideas journal.
Now, is there any organization to those notes whatsoever? Because songwriters tell me, and I get very anxious because they have these great ideas and then they have to go back and say, where was that idea? So I'm sure you have like thousands of notes app, but how do you know where to go back? Is it a time thing? Is there any organization to those whatsoever?
There's no organization. It's part of the chaos, I think, of the creative brain, for me at least, is I don't organize anything. I mean, even in my voice notes of ideas that I have for songs, while I was making this record and while I was writing, I really started to realize that I was like, oh, this is making my life way harder. So I started labeling things. But prior to that, I would just have these long ass lists of voice notes, same thing with my notes app, like just random shit. And so with the notes app itself, I don't label anything. I just kind of like freeball it and pray that I can find it. But with the voice notes, I've had to start labeling things, because otherwise it's like, I mean, I must have like 600 voice notes on my phone. Like I just pull it out and say shit into it. Like it's a, you know, it's like a tape recorder that I carry around with me. But the writing part of it, I think it's part of the like the fun of my brain is it's like, oh, it's there somewhere. I just have to find it.
No, I think that's interesting that you kind of embrace the chaos, right? I mean, yeah. There are some people really need that organization. I mean, I've heard, I think it was Lauren Mayberry from Churches told me that she has an Excel spreadsheet of all of her song ideas.
No, that's could not possibly be me. Could not possibly be me. I don't even know how to use an literally, I almost call it Exprel. That's how little knowledge I have of stuff like that. No, I'm a very organized person when it comes to like my bedroom and my clothing. I like that stuff to be, this room is kind of messy because I've been traveling. But anyway, I have a very specific way that I like to approach that kind of stuff. But when it comes to like creative shit, I'm like mad scientist vibes. And I just figure out how to make it work.
You know, and it reminds me because a lot of people tell me that before they get started, whether it's in the studio or writing, they have to clean beforehand. It's got to be, they have to have a clean room or a clean space. And it always ends up a mess. But, and I don't know if that's a procrastination thing, you know, where you feel like, because for me, that's what it would be. It would be, let me delay this. Oh, I should clean anyway. Yeah. So why not? But some of them tell me it's a mental thing. Things have to, the space around them has to be clean.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it being like that. I am very particular about my space. And when I'm writing, I tend to do all of my writing just at home on the ground. Like I don't have a fancy setup. Like people will always be like, well, do you have a studio space? I'm like, no, I have a desk and like guitars and I have microphones and stuff, but I just sort of pull things out. But yeah, I would say that like, I like to set a little mood. I like to light a candle and maybe some incense and some, you know, like I have certain journals that I pull out and use, but yeah, the space is definitely something that I clean, but the actual physicalness of it is that stuff is just absolute in disarray.
So is there a chair? Like for me, I'm in a hotel room right now, but when I'm at home, I like to write in one chair. I'll never write and revise in the same chair. So okay. I'll write in one, revise in another. But I do find though that if it's not happening in a certain chair, I start to associate that place with that rut that I'm in. And so I'll go to another room.
Interesting.
Yeah. So how, and I, but I think it's important to know that about myself as a writer, you know, like to be aware of that. So does that space, I mean, it's, is there a chair or a space or just the, it sounds like the room is the most important, right?
For me, I think it's really just like, am I comfortable? Like, do I feel comfortable where I am while I'm trying to be creative? And I mean, I wrote It's Fine on the ottoman of my couch in my living room. Like the idea came to me and I have a guitar like next to my TV and I like picked it up and I sat on the ottoman and I just started writing it. So I don't think I really like have so much of a, I think it's like, cause I'm very much a person creatively that like, I'm not somebody who every day is like, I have to write a song or I have to approach this. Like I'm a sort of vibes person. And if I feel it, I feel it. And I just kind of go for it. So I would say for me, it's really like a matter of, is this a comfortable space for me? I mean, I'm in the room where I do most of my work. This is like my office, but normally I just pick up one of my guitars over here and I just sit on the ground, like cross-legged and just sort of like mess around and pull out a journal and sit with it. Sometimes I'll sit at this desk and I'll like open my, you know, computer and I'll type stuff into my computer and sort of sit here and mess around. But no, I don't really have like a, I don't really have like a desired or specific area. It's just like, oh, I have an idea. Let me get comfortable. But if a chair was uncomfortable or the ground was uncomfortable, I would probably move.
Yeah. Right. But it's interesting that you said you like you mentioned the ground twice. So the ground is a place where for whatever reason, who knows, you know, that's where the mojo tends to be.
You know, it's not to get like super woo-woo about it, but I wonder if it's because it's like, because I do this thing sometimes where like when I'm really stressed out, I'll just lay down on the ground. And like, there's something about just being on the ground that makes me feel like I'm just like, oh, this is it. Like, this is the ground on which I stand and I walk and, you know, everything happens. It's a very LOL grounding experience. So I wonder if that's maybe not unconsciously, if that's part of like why I do that. I also do a lot of, this is a newer thing, but I mentioned this, like I do a lot of writing, not on guitar, but like lyrics and melody in my car. I sit in my car constantly. I am literally like, I will be late to things because I was sitting in my car for too long. Literally, I'm in front of the place that I'm supposed to be. And I'm like, oh shit, I just lost track of time because I'm just sitting in my car, like on my phone or doing whatever it is that I'm doing, listening to music. It's like a safe, it feels like a cocoon. I'm obsessed.
But would you go out there like at your house? Have you ever gone out there and sat in the car, even if not going anywhere? Yeah, that's actually
I should do that. I should have that as like a little like activity for myself and like go sit in the car and see if anything comes from it. No, I mean, I think a lot of that became early COVID days, like where you couldn't really do much. I would just sit in my car, and I live next to a cemetery. So I would like drive over to the cemetery and I would just sort of like sit in my car and people watch and walk around. And, but yeah, and I live in LA, so I spend a lot of time in my car.
So what about the role of movement? I mean, when you're, I guess the bigger question is, I hear a lot of songwriters tell me that they get a lot of song ideas when they're doing monotonous activities, those activities that require no brain power and no conscious thought. So it lets the unconscious kind of bubble up to the top. So whether it's driving, but also I hear a lot of monotonous, like household activities, cleaning, gardening, washing dishes, vacuuming, things like that, doing an activity that requires no thought. And that lets that that subconscious kind of bubble to the top. So has that ever been a part of your process where those ideas come to you? And it could be maybe a sound that you're hearing. I don't know. You know.
Yeah. I would say that this, for this particular chapter, because I sort of see myself, I think with each record that I've made with Best Coast and sort of like other collaborative things that I've done. And now with this record that I've made, like I sort of see myself in different like eras and different, I approach songwriting very differently within each of those eras. Then I would say that for this particular one, I didn't really experience a lot of that, but a lot of Best Coast songs were almost entirely written in front of my television. Like the first, like Crazy for You was all written with the TV on mute. Like I would just be sitting watching TV and an idea would come into my head and I would go grab a guitar and I would like put the TV on mute and I would sit there. And I think that's probably why in the beginning I talked so much about Seinfeld, because Seinfeld was always on in the background and I would just mute it. It was either Seinfeld or Food Network. Like I would just sit there and write with the TV on. And I definitely did that with some of this record as well, but I would say that it's funny too, because like when you're watching TV, I don't know. Maybe for me, it's not. I'm not really using my brain because I'm not watching shows that require a lot of thought. Like I think I use TV as sort of like an escapist activity because I watch stuff that doesn't really require a lot of brain power. Not all of it, but some of it. But anyway, yeah, I would say that like, I don't really experience a lot of the like vacuuming my house. Suddenly I hear the, like, oh, this could be a beat. And suddenly I have an idea, but it is sort of when I am just sitting around. And yeah, the television played a large part in my early songwriting process.
But are those okay? So I have heard this before, but it's funny because the ideas I hear that people have are when they're, the sound is on, but it's not a show that they're watching. So,
Yeah.
So in other words, like I had someone told me, I forgot who it was, that it's got to be a sporting event, but it can't be teams that they pay attention to because then they'll focus on it. So,
that's probably why I use Seinfeld as an example, because I've seen every Seinfeld episode 7,000 times. And so it's like, it's a show that I can just put on and, you know, it's also a show about nothing. So it's like, there's not a whole lot of stuff happening that needs to, that requires so much of your brain power and so much attention. But I mean, I just, yeah, I would say that it's definitely shows that, yeah, like I'm not going to suddenly write a song if I'm watching Succession, because that requires me to really like, and I still am paying attention to Succession and have basically no idea what's happening. I just know that I like it. But yeah, no, it's more like, probably why I said Food Network too, because it's like, I'm just watching people like cook and it's like relaxing. And then it's like, oh, I have an idea, pause or mute, and then can just sort of sit there and strum out some chords and come up with ideas.
But that is, to me, when you say that, to me, that is a version of the monotonous activity. That's another
kind of joke. You're right. Right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause you're not really right. You're not saying, wow, that looks like a great cookie batter. You know, it's just right. I mean, you're just kind of, it's there, but you're not really paying attention to it.
Yeah, I also was, I grew up watching, like, my family did not eat at like a dinner table. I was like a TV tray, dinner in front of the TV. That's why I like Seinfeld, because I watched Seinfeld with my dad all the time growing up. But like, I was very much raised by television. Like, I watched TV all the time. And I think about how as a kid, performing and writing and singing and music was played such a huge part in my life. And I just sort of put those two things together. And I almost wonder if that's part of what it is because TV, I do relate it so much to childhood, and childhood is where I got, that's where I got my start as a writer and as a performer and as a singer. So I almost wonder if it's like television is almost this like meditative inner child experience.
I think this is fascinating because it's, you know, it's like a therapy session. I mean, where you're talking about like,
yeah.
What is it about the television? But to me, it goes back to whether we know it or not. I, for me, at least as a writer, it's important to know, like I said, what works and what doesn't. I don't know that means anything, but if nothing else, it's confidence. Right.
Sure. And I would say that like the thing that I know the best about myself is that when I am trying to force writing, it does not happen. And that's not just songwriting. Like that's also like other writing. Like if I have a deadline for something, I will wait until 2 hours before the deadline to sit down and do the thing. And that, I think that truly is because it's just like, for me, my creative juices like don't start flowing until they start. And when I'm like sitting, you know, when I'm sitting in a space being like, I have to write something. It's like my brain doesn't know, like my brain can't do the thing that it's required for me to be creative, which is just go on its own sort of path. And I just kind of follow it. Like I remember when I was writing, when I really first realized what I was doing with this record, when I really realized like, oh, I'm making a solo record and I'm going to do a completely different style of music and I'm going to collaborate with people differently and all of these things, I was putting so much pressure on myself to write every day. And I was like, well, I have to have a song and I have to, you know, I did a lot of co-writing for this record and I was like, I have to go into these sessions with like full-fledged ideas. And when I finally just sort of like surrendered to the idea of like, or you just do what works for you, which is don't put pressure on yourself and let things flow. It like, that's when I see results. And I would say that that is like across all aspects of my life. Like when I just finally let go of shit, that's when I see results and things actually happen for certain things, obviously not everything, but yeah, I consistently forget that that is how it works. So I will continue to go back to the drawing board of like, I have to write today. And then I'm like, I can't write today. I'm the worst writer in the world. And it's like, well, duh, you know that this is not how you operate as a writer. Some people do, and that's okay, but that's just not me.
I love that awareness. Yeah, I think that's so cool. But do you get, is there, I guess the flip side to that is there, when you're not writing for long stretches, is there anxiety that, okay, when it, because I feel like that could also be obviously bad too, because that anxiety compounds. I mean, I've always said like writer's block happens not because we don't know what to say, but because we don't know where to begin, right?
Sure.
I mean, we rarely yeah. like say, oh, I have nothing to say. Often it's, I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
But anyway, what are your thoughts on that and just the whole anxiety about that?
Well, I do think that it's funny because the anxiety ends up turning into like full blown bullying of myself. Like, it's not even an anxiety. It's a full takedown of, you are the worst person in the world. I cannot believe that you have a career as a songwriter when you are this bad at what you do. Like, it is just like my brain takes over and just berates me. But I also feel like that is it's like necessary for me, because, and this is where it's like such a cliche of like, well, I'm an artist and I'm tortured and I have to let myself be tortured. It's like, I think that when I, similar to what I was just saying about trying to force songwriting, when I'm trying to force myself out of those places of like, you are pathetic, you suck, it's like, I can't get through it. Sometimes I just have to sit with those feelings. I mean, there is so much that went on in the last few years in my personal life that I just had, like, I've been through some really dark, depressing moments of depression before. And I would say that there were some pivotal moments for me in the, I hate continuing to talk about the pandemic, but it's like impossible not to. It happened. Yeah. It changed all of our lives. Obviously it changed the world, but like, there were some moments for me where I was really just like depressed. Like, I was in bed on my couch. Like, I lived with my partner and my partner would walk into the room and be like, have you gotten off the couch? And I'd be like, no. And I was spending so much time in my head during that time because I was not creating, being like, I can't do this anymore. I'm not a writer. I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a performer. But it took that experience for me to then have the breakthrough moment. And the breakthrough moment was like, oh, I can't sit on the couch every day and avoid writing. I can't bully myself. I have to get up and I have to like start over. And really what starting over was like deciding to walk away from Best Coast and start a new project. So I think not really pushing myself is actually the thing that led me to the new path. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I'm going to read you a couple of quotes here. I've got them here because I love reading about quotes by writers about writing. And I've got a couple of them. One of them is by Allen Ginsberg, you know, the poet. He says, to gain your own voice, you have to forget about having it heard. And I love that idea of not being conscious, because the second you recognize that voice, things can start to really tighten up.
Yeah.
So, and I think about that with this, you know, with the solo project, how can I say this? I guess, how is it important? Is it hard, I guess, to be able to write, especially when you're writing this new voice and this new message and things like that? Can it be inhibiting to be too conscious of that voice? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think that, you know, what's interesting about that quote, because I heard it very much in relation to the way that I kept it a secret that I was making this record. And that was a very conscious decision, because I knew that if I came out and said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm making a solo record and Best Coast is going to go on an indefinite hiatus, then I'm just going to go chase this, then there would be an external pressure on me from external places, but also, you know, internal. I would start putting pressure on myself of like, okay, well, now that people know about this, it has to be a certain thing. And I have to make sure that it comes across that way. And I would have overthought every single aspect of it. And so instead, I just detached and I went inward and I did my own thing and I allowed myself to have trial and error. I allowed myself to like try to write songs that did not end up on the record. As I mentioned, I co-wrote a lot of this record and I went into rooms with people I had never met before. And I walked out being like, I don't know, that didn't really work out for me. And then I went into some rooms being like, you know, bringing an idea in and walking out with a finished project that I was like, holy shit, like that is not at all what I thought it would be like. But I was not worried about what anybody else out there was thinking about because nobody knew what I was doing. And there was, it's funny because the voice in my head was like, well, everybody just thinks you're lazy because nobody, because like you're not making music and I wonder what people are thinking about you. Like people must just be like, what does Bethany do all day? But I knew what I was doing. And I knew that like the second I made that known to the world, I felt like I would lose my voice. So it was super, super, super important to me to like kind of be living two lives, to be living like a public facing one, but to privately be going through this whole transition, knowing that someday I would announce it. But that separation allowed me to hear my own voice. And I think if other people had known, I would not have heard my own voice.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, here's my favorite quote. This is from the novelist E.L. Doctorow. He says, and this is the one that blows all songwriters away. I'll have to repeat this one too. Writing is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. So writing is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as the headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. So when I write, I don't think I have any right knowing what it's going to look like at the end. So mm-hmm. I start writing and I just don't, what I don't want to do is say, this is my goal. I write and see where that takes me. But I'm curious how you feel about that. How often are you writing songs and thinking this is the way I want it to end up versus let me start it and see where it takes me?
Well, the answer to that is sort of the same as the idea of like, when I try to force myself to write, it's like nothing good comes of it, because that was something I really had to work on in the process of making this record, was detaching from the results, was detaching from the idea that, like, again, this is a secret. Nobody knows this is happening. Just me and my team and my close friends and the people that I'm working with. And that allowed me to sort of like not worry so much about what it would look like or how it would come across. And so I think for me, it's sort of similar to what I was saying to you about like the idea of a deadline and how I wait until the last second. It's like, because I think I've done some like op-eds and stuff for publications over the years. And those obviously always come with a deadline. And there's a specific thing that I'm being asked to write about. So I'll sit down and I'll be like, oh my God, okay, I have to have this. I have to do this. And then I'll start. And then all I can think about is meeting that deadline. And all I can think about is like, what is the last line of this going to be? And then I ruin the entire experience. So when it comes to my songwriting, yeah, I do think that I have to sort of like, let it be. And that is something that I really did with the songs on this record, because a lot of them I started and then I left them and I just didn't even think about them. And then I would return to them a month later. I would bring it into a writing session with another person and say, here's a, 2-minute idea. I need to figure out where this goes. And that is the first time I've ever done that. With Best Coast, I was always writing from start to finish. And with this, whether it was bringing an idea into a co-writer or not, it was like I was starting ideas and then just sort of like leaving them and coming back to them when I felt ready to come back to them.
So how did you know? So you deliberately left them? Like, or do you, I mean, how did you know, what was the point in each song, when you said, okay, I'm going to let this go, come back to it later. How did you know when to do that?
I think some of it was deliberate. And then I think some of it was just like an intuitive thing of just like, this isn't really good. I think also a lot of it is just learning, getting to know myself better and becoming more confident with myself as not just a person, but also like as a writer, as an artist, being at a place in my life where I trust myself a lot. I think I just would get to a place with something where I would say like, this isn't working, or I've done enough for today. I'm going to like put this away and I'm going to go walk my dog, or I'm going to go, meet a friend for dinner or whatever. I just sort of, and then there were other things that I knew I had written to a place where I was like, okay, I want to leave this here because I have a writing session next week and I want to bring this idea into that writing session and see where that takes me. So I think it was both conscious and unconscious. I think a lot of times it's funny because over the years when people ask me like, well, what are your, what's your songwriting process? Sometimes I don't even have an answer because I feel like, again, woo woo. I feel sometimes like I have an experience with writing where it's like just like God or some sort of figure comes in and is just like, here we are, like, here's the idea. And then I just like go with it. I just know in like instinctually what to do with it.
You mentioned dogs, and I listen, a lot of songwriters tell me a lot of ideas on walks, or, you know, whether they're with pets or not. Does that happen a lot to you? I don't think we talked about this, but the role of movement specifically, whether it's walking, exercising, do you ever get ideas? That to me is a fruitful time when I am literally in the act of moving my body. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, that in particular in this sort of chapter, the whole like idea of making this record and a lot of the inspirations came to me from walks. Like I would go on these really long epic walks with my dog through my neighborhood and I would just listen to music. And I was just like, for the first time in a very long time, I was just like a listener of music. I wasn't, you know, it was COVID. I wasn't performing. I wasn't really like worried about making a new record. I was just kind of trying to survive. And so I was listening to a lot of music, and then I would hear certain sounds or certain lines or certain melodies. And I would be like, man, this is really inspiring. And I was just sort of like gathering inspiration for what was to come. But I see sort of like nature is kind of my like higher power, God, whatever it is you want to call it. And when I'm out is when I'm really like receiving the world. It's when I'm like picking up on things. It's when I'm noticing things. Like I would say, it's funny because when I was talking sort of about that period of like very bad depression that I went through in the more recent years, I remember I would go into I would have therapy and I would talk about how I was like, I just don't feel like I'm doing anything. Like I'm not creating. I have no job. Like I don't know what I'm doing. And my therapist would say, well, you're an artist. So by merely existing, you're working. By merely existing, you're gathering inspiration for whatever your next project is, for whatever is to come. And something about that, it's such a like easy thing to say, but it took me a long time to grasp. And now that I understand that, I do see all of the sort of movement activities, particularly ones I do outside, as being a huge part of my creative process.
And I agree 100%, because when I was a professor, and I still feel the same way, that if you're a writer and you only think your writing process happens when you're putting pen to paper, mm-hmm. you're doomed to fail. I mean,
exactly.
But if you always imagine like my writing process is taking place when I'm eating, when I'm sleeping, yeah. when I'm showering, yeah. when I'm doing all of those things, whether I know it or not, it is always happening. I mean, I could not agree with that more. And that I think lessens the anxiety of the process if you know. Yeah. that it's happening, even though you may not be aware of it, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And again, like I said, it's like now that I know that, it's changed everything for me, because now I bully myself. I still bully myself because I'm human, but I bully myself a lot less about productivity, because that used to be the real big thing was like, oh my God, I haven't written, or I haven't picked up the guitar, or I haven't done this, or I haven't sang, or like whatever. And now it's a little bit more like, I become conscious of the fact that, okay, it's been a while since I've done those things, but then I can sort of look at the landscape of what it is I'm doing in life, whether it's I'm traveling or I'm spending time with friends or I'm, you know, walking the dog or taking a vacation or whatever it is. It's like, I now see that all of those things are, again, just me gathering experiences for future projects, for inspiration for future songs.
And also just the myth of the tortured artist. I mean, at some point it's debilitating.
Yeah.
And you can't write and you can't create if you're in such a, I mean, I think people, oh, just write your way out of those things, or, oh, that's a great place to write from. But, you know, historically, I don't know, that hasn't really been the case. Okay. Well, let me end with this then, because I think I mentioned this to you last time, but outside art, how much reading do you get to do? And who are your favorite? I think we talked about this last time, but whether they influence you or not, who are some of the favorite, who are some people you've been reading?
So I love to read. I really honestly only read like self-help books. It's like, I'm not afraid to say it out loud. I try to like read fiction. I try to read, I love Mary Oliver. I read Mary Oliver all the time. I have like all of her books, and I do tend to, that is something too, that I was doing a lot of when I was writing for this record, was just picking up her books and turning to a random page and like reading something and getting inspired. But I tend to read a lot of stuff about like, childhood shit. I tend to read a lot of stuff about anxiety. I love to work on myself. Like, it's just, I do. I really like to work on myself, and I like to learn about the way that our brains work. But this, it's so tattered because I've read it like 15 times in the last couple of years. This Linda Ronstadt memoir. Have you read this? I have not read that. It's so good. It's so good. And she writes, I don't know if you like have ever watched interviews with her, but she's very silly, yeah. And she's very just, you know, she's just very like, she just is who she is. And the way that she writes is exactly the same. Like, it feels like you're talking to your friend when you read that book. Like, she's telling you these incredible stories of her life and all of the, you know, the incredible things she's done and the different chapters she's had. And you just feel like you're talking to like your friend. You feel like your friend has just like wrote you these letters of stories. I also, this is another book. Lucky for you, I have all my books on my desk. Perfect. I started reading this and I haven't finished it yet. The Overstory by Richard Powers. But I, as I mentioned, I very much see nature as sort of like God for me. And I wanted to start, because I love Mary Oliver, I wanted to start reading stuff that was kind of more about nature and stuff that sort of like, how does nature affect us? And this is a really interesting book that's sort of about like trees and how they're like connecting all humans. So, but admittedly too, I have pretty bad ADHD. So reading for me can be a challenge because my brain is in like 60 different places. And then I'm like, what did I just read? I have to read it again.
But so you read, it's funny. I've never been a person who can read a book over. Like, I read it once.
Oh, really?
And that's it. Yeah. But it, you said you've read that Linda Ronstadt one. So what's value?
Look at it.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're not kidding.
It's like, it's busted up. I just, you know, when I decided to make this record, I went back to a lot of the influences, singers. Like, I am a singer at the end of the day. I'm a singer-songwriter, but my main instrument is my voice. And I really wanted to dive deep into the influences of singers that I had growing up. And my favorite singer when I was a kid was Whitney Houston. I love Whitney Houston. And I just started like really immersing myself in her catalog. But then Linda Ronstadt has always also been a favorite of mine. And I knew that she had written this book and I had never read it before. But it was just like reading it and just, again, her story being told in such a simplistic way, I just really connected to it. And you know, the bully in my brain kept coming and being like, you shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't make this record. You should just stick to Best Coast. That's what you're known for. Da, 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 da. And I think continuing to read this book and her story and just to continue to return to it, like, it was almost like, I keep saying that the way she writes is like, you're talking to your friend. It was almost like my friend, my dear close personal friend, Linda Ronstadt, was just cheering me on, being like, no, we're doing this. We're doing this. And so it's also just an easy read. It's a really easy read, but I cannot recommend it more. It's so good. Even if you're not like a massive Linda Ronstadt fan,
no, I
it's
am.
Just a really, well, just to any, I like recommend it to people all the time. I'm like, do you like Linda Ronstadt? They're like, yeah, I guess. And I'm like, read her book. And they're like, yeah, okay. She has another book that I also read, but this one is my top favorite.
Well, I know we're about out of time, but the one that I really loved, I interviewed Kathy Valentine a couple of years ago from the Go-Go's.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I want to read that.
Yeah, that memoir is fantastic. I think I interviewed her. We talked about her writing process around the memoir, too. But that book is really good. I mean, that's an incredible story, too. Just the story of that band, but her. But that's also a really good book.
Awesome. So, I'll add that to my list of books that will take me 4 years to finish.
It's good. I mean, if honestly, it's a page turner because the drama behind that band.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and how she even joined the band. It was literally, I think it was Charlotte Caffey, I think, is her.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, they passed by each other in the hallway of the back of a bar. And she said, oh, you play bass, don't you? We need a bassist. And that was it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, that's an amazing story.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. We're out of time, but Bethany, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure.
It's nice to, I know I've talked to you all these years. It's nice to like put a face to the voice.
I know. Right. And I remember also last time we talked, you said that there was a, that you also, you wrote Always Looking Out the Window. So I don't know if that's the window you're talking about, but I remember last time he said, you always like
this one.
Yeah. No. You always have to look out the window.
I was living in a different house with a big massive window, but my couch is right in front of the window. And I did a lot of writing for this record on that couch. So yes, I am still on brand of looking out the window.
Excellent. All right.
And that's it for the latest episode of Songwriters on Process. Don't forget, you can find all of my interviews with over 200 songwriters on my Songwriters on Process website at songwritersonprocess.com, going all the way back to 2010. You can read them, watch them, or listen to them. So until next time, thanks for listening.